having Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. And we have a very, very special guest this morning. And I sort of wanted to lead into this with what I tragically see in so many Americans. And, you know, it was Edward Bernays, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, the father of modern-day propaganda, who wrote in a book called Propaganda, and he opened up with this statement. I mean, the intentional and skillful manipulation of the opinions and organized habits of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this essential mechanism constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power in our nation. We are governed, our minds are molded, our ideas suggested, our thoughts created largely by men we have never heard of. And that really is so true today. And when I hear people telling me how we've just got to go over and fight and kill all the Muslims before they fight and kill us, and after all, they want to kill us, I wonder if they really understand anything about the Muslim faith. Yes, there are a few radical Muslims who have gone back to the ancient jihad of Muhammad, but the average Muslim wants to raise his family and live his life, and we're told many of them now favor, go ahead and suicide bombings. But would they really do that for themselves and their children? And when we see, for instance, on 60 Minutes, they interview a man who claimed he was the bodyguard for Osama bin Laden. Of course, he gave out a lot of very, very false information saying Osama bin Laden had ever been sick or been on dialysis. So obviously this whole thing was a plant, but then he talks about how his goal in life is to have his son grow up and be a suicide bomber. I'm saying to myself, why is 60 Minutes putting that on? Obviously they want to convince us of something. And that is, everything is being done to get American people to hate the Muslims, just as everything is being done in the Muslim world to get the Muslims to hate the West. In fact, right here in the United States, you can go up on Telstar 5, where we are, and you'll find Al Jazeera, the terrorist satellite company, broadcasting the material to the Muslims in America and throughout the world to get them to hate the West, just as they want people in the West to hate the Muslims. Ladies and gentlemen, we're being manipulated into a terrible war. And I think it's about time you understood that. And you begin to understand something about the Muslim faith. And our guest this morning actually converted to the Muslim faith. And, of course, she eventually then converted back to Christianity. And I want you to hear her story of her experience living in Egypt in a Muslim world as an American woman. Farah Khalil is with us, and thanks so much for being with us again.
Oh, thank you for having me again.
Will you just go ahead and pick up your story? Remember, this is a whole new audience, and I want them to hear your story of how it was that you happened to become a Muslim.
Well, I was born into a Southern Baptist family. Went to church nominally. I went on holidays or every so often with my grandparents, but never really listened, kind of fell asleep in church. Never read the Bible. I was never grounded biblically, never understood Jesus Christ, that's for sure. And so when I converted to Islam, it was really easy for me to be convinced that Christianity was all wrong and Islam was the only right religion out there.
Now, why did you convert to the Muslim faith, though? What was there that attracted you to it?
Well, I was in high school, and I met my future husband, whom I'm still married to, and he is a Muslim and was a Muslim. And he didn't start talking about Islam when we first met. It took a few months, and then he started talking to me about it, and his family started talking to me about Islam, especially his parents. His mom would talk to me about all the great things about Islam, the moral code, and how they uphold women morally. His dad would more or less bring the Bible out and have the parts, scripture verses, circled that he either thought pointed to Islam and pointed to Muhammad, or the scriptures that denied the deity of Jesus Christ. So he really readily and easily convinced me that Christianity was wrong, that the Bible had been changed, and so the Quran had to come along to just to make everything right again. Like, God had to write another book because everyone had, kind of done things to the Bible to make it wrong.
Sure.
But the
Muslims that you were in contact with were not militant Muslims, were they?
No, not at all. Especially my husband's mother. I mean, she's the kindest, gentlest, sweetest person I've ever met, besides my own mother. She's never even fathomed doing anything wrong. She's never touched alcohol. She's never, ever stepped foot inside a club or anything even close to like a club or a bar. She is just very innocent. Even at like 55, she's so innocent-minded. And so, she would never think of hurting anyone. She even told me recently that she cries when she sees pictures of the war. She cries when she sees Muslim people dying. She cries when she sees American soldiers dying. She just has a very compassionate nature.
And basically, they do hold to a very, very strict moral code, don't they? And isn't that something that attracts people to it? Certainly, as we look at Christian America, we don't see any moral code.
That's correct. When I first met my husband, I was in high school, as I said, and I was dressing as a regular teenage girl would dress, in my opinion. Shorts, tank tops, flip-flops, that sort of thing. The outfit I wore when I ran track was really short shorts and really tight, tank top. And I didn't ever once see anything wrong with that. I thought I was just a normal kid, and this is how everyone dressed. Until I started hanging around with my husband's family, and they started pointing out how I dressed.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment with Eric Khalil. And this is an important story to understand. And maybe we ought to learn something from the fact that this religion does have a strict moral code.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. Come one, come all. You're invited to the Englewood Days Car Show next Saturday, September the 9th, 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. in the 3400 block of South Broadway between Acoma and Hampton. We'd like to thank all the sponsors, Ferris Survival, Bonnie Bray Hobbies, Duas Automotive, Sir Speedy, Jerry's Artorama, Rat Art, Gothic Theater, Flat River Bar and Grill, and Painter's Supply. That's the Englewood Days Car Show, September 9th, 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener.
Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and Farah Khalil is with us, and we were talking about the moral standards, of the Muslim faith. Now, truly true Christians, I mean, those who really adhere to the faith, certainly do not fall into the patterns of our society, but there's been an organized effort to corrupt the Christian faith. This has been here for half a century, largely financed by our great foundations, and believe me, they planted their agents in our Christian seminaries, and of course they have their agents working in Hollywood and producing the television that is giving us the idea it's perfectly all right for girls to wear these, these blouses that show their belly button and low-cut jeans and bikinis and all of these things, which undermine, the very moral fabric of our society, because certainly men are men and they're always attracted to women. And And when 50% of Christian marriages end in divorce, something's wrong with our society. And if you want to destroy the very fabric of our society, you destroy the family. And the people who are doing this know exactly what they're doing. And so this is one reason, I'm sure, why many people, many young, impressionable people, without understanding what's going on, might be attracted to a religion that offers stability and a moral foundation and the sanctity of marriage. Now, admittedly, in some areas they do have, four wives, but certainly that is not the case with you or the families you know, is it?
That's correct. No, I don't know anyone that has more than one wife, any of my in-laws or right. Any of my Muslim friends. They just have one wife.
Right.
And what you said about the American morals, that's what I did. I grouped Americans and Christians into one group. As I started getting into Islam, I just looked at all Americans, assumed they were all Christians, looked at the way they dressed, and thought, wow, Christianity is wrong. Look at my Muslim in-laws, or soon-to-be in-laws. Look at how they are fully covered. And the reason for that is their bodies are meant only for their spouses to see. And that's a way of just not letting sin in. If they can cover their bodies, then the men won't look. And then this sin doesn't even get a chance to turn into lust or turn into adultery by fully draping yourself, fully covering head to toe. So that was something, yes, that attracted me, because I suddenly started looking at myself and thinking, gosh, I'm dressing pretty gross. I'm kind of just putting myself out there. Anyone can walk by and see my shape and lust after me and have, bad thoughts about me. So that is definitely one thing that attracted me. My mother-in-law, she'll shake hands with the man occasionally, but that's about as far as it goes as any contact with other men, unless it has something to do with, like ordering a pizza or, buying something at a store, but that's it. She would never think of even having a man as a friend in any form. Even first cousins that are men, once a woman reaches puberty, they have to be fully covered around their first male cousins. Even if they grew up around them and they're the same age and they play together, they still suddenly, when they reach puberty, have to be fully covered, cover their hair, everything like that. So, This really attracted me. I just found it very religious. And I started falling into a religious trap, started judging others for the way they dressed. I stopped eating pork. I stopped eating, pepperoni pizza, bacon, pork chops, ham. And then I started judging others that ate it. I used to come to my family and say, oh, my gosh, I cannot believe you're eating pork and ham. That's horrible. Y'all are horrible people. That's one thing. Yes, you do become very religious on the outside, but then you start judging others who want the same as you. same with prayer. I started praying 5 times a day religiously, and when I wouldn't see even my own husband pray those 5 prayers, I started jumping on him about that. If I knew he was praying without doing the wash up first, or it's called ablution, I would get on him for that. Well, how do you know your prayer is going to count? You didn't wash up. You didn't change your underwear. You didn't go behind your ears perfectly. Your prayer's not going to count. And then, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that praying 5 times a day, you have to wash yourself before you pray, don't you?
Yes. It's kind of a timely process. It goes hands, arms, face, behind the ears, over the hair, on the feet, in the nose. You wash out your mouth. And then you have to make sure after you do that that you don't fall asleep, that you don't break wind, that you don't kiss anyone like your spouse, and that you don't say a bad word. Any of those things make that washing up process null and void, and you would have to do it again. I got so obsessed with it. I was so scared my prayer wasn't going to count, because in Islam, if your prayer, if you don't do it correctly, it's like a mark against you, almost like in school. It's like you get a check against you in your scales of good and bad deeds, and when you finally get to heaven or you finally die, your scales are going to be weighed one way or the other. And I was just terrified that I wasn't washing up good enough for my prayer to go through, so I ended up taking 5 showers a day to make sure I was fully washed, every inch of my body, so I wouldn't have any doubts when I started praying. So I would pray the 5 prayers, and I just got just so into the rituals, doing things in threes, and then watching others to see if they were doing the same as I was. And when they weren't, in my mind, I was almost having a mental chart of their scale in my mind of how they might go to hell, because they are just not doing everything correctly the way the Quran and the sayings of Muhammad, which are called hadith, say that we're supposed to do.
There's this tremendous fear of going to hell that is always there in the background of the Muslim mind, isn't there?
Yes. And I felt it when I first started learning about Islam, but I also read many books, Islamic books, about it. There's fear in everything. For example, Ramadan right now, the Muslims are fasting. It's from sunup to sundown. It has to do with the moon, the phase of the crescent of the moon. Now, if you don't fast intentionally, and this is hard fasting. If you're a smoker, you can't smoke. You can't even let water accidentally fall down your throat when you brush your teeth. You're not supposed to say anything, any cuss words. You're not supposed to think lustful thoughts. No intimate relations with your spouse or anyone else during these hours. And if you intentionally do not fast one day, meaning if you're not sick or on a trip, that goes on your scales and balances, and one missed day of fasting takes 30 days of fasting to make up after the month of Ramadan. And also, it's a sin not to. So the fasting, in my opinion, I was so scared if I didn't do it, just all the ramifications that would come about for me not doing it. Now, with Christianity, of course, I know many Christians that fast. My own mother fasts occasionally, but it's out of love and not out of fear, and it's because she wants to do it, and she's not scared that if she doesn't do it, that these horrible things are going to be done to her, or going to happen to her at death, or, you know, before death, or that there's scales that are weighing out what's going to happen to her if she doesn't. But with Ramadan, this isn't the case, and there's books written about what will happen to you if you don't fast. So this was scary for me, and so of course I fasted. Other things, just simple things like leaving your shoes facing up, the soles facing up. That's bad. That's like facing up to God, so to say. Having a dog in the house means that It's unfit for prayer. Touching a dog means that you can't pray. You're going to have to go wipe your clothes where that dog touched your clothes, and then you have to go wash up again before you pray. many different rituals. There's different prayers that you say if you think sorcery has been performed upon you. There's big time with the evil eye. You should never say that your child is cute or that your child is smart, because then someone who hears that is going to curse you, and then you're going to have the evil eye and or sorcery performed upon you, and then you have to go through prayers to get that sorcery off of you. You can, one of the things it says is that you can eat 7 dates when you wake up in the morning, preferably from Mecca or Medina, and that to take the sorcery away. There's grinding up 7 lotus leaves in your bath water to take the sorcery away, or vomiting and cupping over an organ that sorcery has been performed upon. It's just, and this evil eye made me terrified of even, you know, my fellow friends. I thought saying my child was smart or look how cute he is, you know, I'm going to get the evil eye. Something's going to happen. And then if my child would get sick by coincidence, I would say, oh, it's because I said this and then I didn't pray this or I didn't thank God when I said it. And so it was just, for me, constant fear. And I know for a lot of Muslims it's not like that. And I think that the reason that is, like for my husband, it's not like that. But that's because he doesn't ever read the Quran and he's never read any Islamic literature.
Well, no, you actually went and you lived in Egypt for a time, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Did you learn the Egyptian, or did you, you certainly were an American. You must have stood out, you know, in the Egyptian society.
I did. Of course, I'm lighter complected. I have light eyes and lighter hair. So, yes, I definitely looked American walking down the street. But this wasn't a bad thing. They really in Egypt, they love Americans. A lot of them want to be American. A lot of them want to come over here and live in America. I enjoyed my time there. I learned Arabic there, and this is a blessing, I think. And I just got to see Islam firsthand, and I got to see the way they lived firsthand. And one wonderful thing I can say about the whole Islamic community over there in Egypt is that there's no middle class. There's you're poor, you're rich. And the poor people, it's just amazing. Poor over there is, no electricity, no running water, dirt floors, or no home, period. You just live on the streets. But yet they are still just happy. Shoeless, homeless, shirtless, dirty children running around just playing with a ball in the street, just still happy. And it touched my heart. You almost get jaded a little bit. You see, the first day I got there, I was in tears seeing these kids asleep on the street. But then you kind of get used to it. But they were just happy, just very happy, just to basically be alive and have what they have, a pot of rice for dinner, and that's it. But, you know, they were happy with that. And I can't tell you how many kids I saw that worked, though. They didn't go to school. As young as the age of, like, 8, they could start working in homes. There's just errand boys. That's all they do is sit on the stoop of rich people's homes and wait for errands to be given to them to do, to run to the store, to do this, to do that. My family had a little errand boy, and I remember my mother-in-law sitting down with him and asking him, would you like me to teach you to read? And he wanted to learn, but he wasn't that interested. I think he knew that physical labor and the sort of life he was already living was his lot in life, and he was happy with that. Every home basically had a maid, and it was the same thing. You know, would you like to know how to read? Would you like to know how to do this? But illiteracy rate, I think I was reading in Egypt, it's really bad. I didn't realize that till I actually got there and just saw how many children didn't go to school. There's no law that they have to.
We'll be back in just a moment with Farah Khalil, and as we explore, the Muslim world she was part of, and then of course her conversion back to Christianity.
Discover MagnetiCare, cell-activating liquid complex and RX magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting MagnetiCare liquid complex, cream, or RX magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.net. Find out how BioSuperfood has helped thousands of people everywhere, providing health benefits for heart disease, cancer, diabetes, fibromyalgia, liver disorders, osteoarthritis, glaucoma, depression, allergies, nervous system disorders, and much more. BioSuperfood is making an impact on how people everywhere approach health and nutrition. Join Dr. Roland Thomas every second Friday at 2 p.m. on the Danette Daniels Show, KHNC 1360 AM.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply has something new. We have the finest in gun safes and new and used guns and reloading supplies. Now we have a new state-of-the-art gun range. Yes, for pistols and rifles, a beautiful well-lit 25-yard range with automatic retrieval. With a state-of-the-art ventilation systems. Yes, you can try it before you buy it. We have gun rentals and instructors can be arranged. That's the new Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply and Gun Range. 970-221-5133. 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry. Private instructors welcome.
All veterans, I'm speaking with Jamie LaRue of Windsor National Mortgage, 970-686-6866. Jamie, what benefits help a vet buy a home?
The Veterans Administration has a no-down payment home loan programs for veterans, reservists, and enlisted personnel.
So veterans learn more about your benefits. Call Jamie at Windsor National Mortgage, 970-686-6866.
Dan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Farah Khalil, and we're talking about her experience living in the Muslim world. And so she's in Egypt, and you know, and your husband, the family has some sort of business, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. They have a chain of businesses in Egypt. So we were very well off there. Of course, I didn't have to work. I never needed anything. We had vacations by the Red Sea and a summer home. It was great. Everything on the outside was wonderful financially, but I was miserable and just terrified every step I took. I was just so scared. And this was because, you know, when I became Muslim, I decided to read the Quran and read as much Islamic literature as possible. I wanted to know every ritual that I needed to do. I wanted to know every prayer that I needed to say if I sinned or if I needed this or if I did this. I wanted to be the best and most knowledgeable Muslim ever. And I, you know, for two reasons, just because I was scared if I wasn't, I wouldn't go to heaven. And I was wanting to convince my family to be Muslim. I was sending them emails from Egypt, you know, just long, drawn-out emails of why they should convert to Islam and why Christianity is wrong and why they're going to go to hell. And they would write back and say, that's nice, Farah, but that was about it. And thank God they never converted. But a lot of my family is grounded biblically. and especially since I became Muslim about 10 years ago, I think that made a lot of my family members really become closer to God and closer to their faith. So I guess that's a positive thing about it. My mom especially just became, you know, very, very Christian, and she just loves Jesus, and she works in ministry now, something she never thought she'd do. And my dad is the same. My brother and sister now go to a Christian school. So I like to think that me turning so far and backsliding so much made them get closer in order to bring me back. So as I was saying, I was just terrified, and in Egypt I was just miserable. I was lonely, of course, for America. I missed America. I didn't relate to anyone. Everyone was nice as can be, but I just couldn't relate to anyone. And so we ended up coming back, and of course on the way back I was thought for sure Allah was going to make the plane crash, because I was making my husband and my family come back to America. I thought for sure. And so I prayed to him, please just let me make it to America. I promise I'll do whatever you say. And so we made it back, and I started taking online Islamic courses. I wanted to just be the best Muslim. And these courses, that it was a school based in Pakistan that were sending me certificates every time I would pass a course. The ones I took regarding the history of the Quran and the history of Muhammad opened my eyes. I had read every Islamic book I thought was out there, even ones from Egypt, written in Egypt, and I had never heard anything bad about Muhammad, ever. And the Quran is about Muhammad, basically. And hearing him, I knew there were bad things in the Quran about killing the infidels, slaying the infidels, but I'd never heard that in order to gain money, to get followers, or to start wars, he was raiding caravans. I never heard about some of the things he said concerning women. The lust in his voice that you can read when he talks about women. All of a sudden, all these scientific miracles that I had read but never really looked into, I realized, wait a second, these aren't scientific miracles. The earth isn't flat, as the Quran says, and some Muslims really think it is because they think the Quran is right and the rest of the world is wrong. The sun, you know, doesn't revolve around the earth like the Quran says. There's just a lot of things that a 7th century man from Arabia would write down, and it would seem correct then, and then you can spin it a different way today. But when you really look into it, you realize, oh, wait a second, this isn't a scientific miracle. So that was one of the things. And just the sayings in the history of Muhammad, just the horrible things he did that I couldn't even... I suddenly looked at what I knew about Jesus and said, wait a second, this can't be right. I know a bit about Jesus, and I know he never hurt a fly. Even if someone hurt him, what they did to him, he never forced anyone to follow him, and he never demanded retribution, and he never hurt anyone back in when they did things to him. Whereas Muhammad, when someone wouldn't convert to Islam, when he would conquer a territory or a place, he gave them choices. You can become Muslim, or we can kill you, or you can pay a tax to save your life. These were the only choices these people had, and that, there's a lot of history behind that. That would be like a whole other show, but that's basically what happened, and which led up to Crusades, you know, after Muhammad's death. But I had never, ever delved into the history of Muhammad. I just read the good things about him. There's books called The 40 Hadith of Muhammad, and those are the 40 good things that Muhammad said and Muhammad did. But there are 66,000 Hadith, and they are, some of them are so terrifying, I can't believe that a prophet, a so-called prophet, could say these things. And I was just, for a week, I knew that Allah couldn't be God, but I still prayed just like as if I thought Allah was watching me. I still prayed Islamically because I thought he was watching me, and I was so scared of him. And so finally I got down on my knees and I prayed to God, and I said, please protect me. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's happening to me, but I know I'm scared, and I want your love, and I'm just so sorry. And that's when I just let loose, and I cried, and I felt God's love and his forgiveness. And that was almost exactly 2 years ago, and I've just never been so at peace. There's tension in my home, but it's getting better. I can only show my husband through my actions how much I love Jesus and how I live every single day for God, not out of fear of what he's going to do if I don't, but because I love him, and I want everyone, especially Muslims, to feel that love, because I personally know Muslims who walk around like I did, terrified, taking forever to wash up before they pray, scared of every single step they take. When my in-laws were here, we had just gotten a puppy, and they would not even go outside, especially the women, would not go outside to even touch that dog, because they knew they would be unfit to pray if they did. And so I just see that constant fear inside of them, and I just pray for them every day, especially my husband, because I can't wait for the day that my home is one. We all worship God together, and we read the Bible together, and I know that day will come. It's it's when God wants it to happen. There's trials in life, and I feel so grateful that I was pulled out of Islam, because I wasn't looking to be pulled out of Islam. God just reached down and pulled me out, because I was trying to become a better Muslim. It's so ironic.
We'll be back in just a moment with Farrah Khalil, and right here, American Kingdom.
To order your cassette copy of this program, call the American Freedom Network at 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Modern Bible scholars teach that the church will miraculously be kept from the tribulation in an event called the rapture. Yet the Bible is strangely quiet about such an event. The Watchman's Cry is a fascinating new book by Obadiah Frank that makes the study of the last days understandable. Using clear explanations, the notion that the church will be raptured before the time of the Great Tribulation is proven a dangerous deception. The Watchman's Cry is available from the American Freedom Network for only $10 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network has a growing list of videos available. We like to show people the good things about life in America. These videos depict great events, inspirational music, and very special people. If you couldn't be here to see them live, call 1-800-205-6245 for title and price information. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply has something new. We have the finest in gun safes and new and used guns and reloading supplies. Now we have a new state-of-the-art gun range. Yes, for pistols and rifles, a beautiful well-lit 25-yard range with automatic retrieval, with a state-of-the-art ventilation systems. Yes, you can try it before you buy it. We have gun rentals and instructors can be arranged. That's the new Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply and Gun Range. 970-221-5133, 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry. Private instructors welcome.
Veterans, I'm speaking with Jamie LaRue of Windsor National Mortgage, 970-686-6866. Jamie, who is actually qualified to get a VA loan?
The general rule is 2 years active duty service or 6 years in the reserves. Shorter time requirements during wartime service.
So veterans, learn more about your benefits. Call Jamie at Windsor National Mortgage, 970-686-6866.
Dan here at the American Freedom Network. I guess this morning is Farrah Khalil. Why do you think that this place over in Pakistan you were taking the mail order courses from was beginning to tell you all of these things about some of the bad things about Muhammad? Is this what they're teaching Muhammadans who are taking the internet courses all throughout the world?
I would assume so. This, whenever I wrote to the instructor confused about what I was reading, his explanation was, well, Muhammad was always on the defense, so we had to do this. How else was he going to be able to do anything? He was so, you know, so persecuted. And this was his explanation, and then all correspondence was basically cut off. But this is a lot of the explanations that are given to Muslims in other countries, because in Islamically ruled countries, history before Islam is not taught. I know in Egypt, in the public schooling, history before Islam is not taught in the history books. So all they know is what they've been told, and Muhammad has been made out to be a very meek and mild person who just wanted to talk about God, and what ended up happening, everyone just hated him, just, you know, tried to kill him, tried to do this to him, when in fact this is not the case, and this can be proven by history. And when I've talked to my in-laws about the historical part of, about this, that's valid and rings true, they think that all history is against Muslims, and that every single history book in every single country has just been skewed against Islam. This is the only way they can rationalize. And so the Pakistani professor that I was writing to, we stopped corresponding. I think I tried to send him some scripture from the Bible, and I was very nice to him, but he just stopped emailing me. So that's what happened there. But what I found, which is very frustrating, and I've had to learn the hard way on how to approach Muslims, is that when you bring up history, many just think that it's all been written to make Islam seem wrong. And it's almost impossible to talk to someone who really thinks that, who really, truly, in their heart and in their mind, think that all history has been changed. For example, they think in the Bible that it was Ishmael used to be the one that was about to be sacrificed by Abraham, and they think somehow Ishmael was erased and Isaac was put in, all because somewhere in the future down the line everyone knew that Islam was going to come along. I rationalized the same thing. I rationalized a lot as a Muslim. I rationalized that paradise for men was 72 virgins and two young boys. I rationalized that men could dress a certain way, but women had to dress another way. I rationalized so many things, and this is why when I talk to my in-laws, I talk to other Muslims, and they say these things that they really think is true. I feel sad and not angry anymore. So another thing that they rationalize is in Egypt there's or in any Islamic country there's Egyptian television that has like I guess America here tries to make all Muslims seem bad. There's television over there even for children that makes all Americans seem horrible, all Christians seem horrible, all Jewish people seem horrible. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. I have my children here. But
that's all right.
I'm sorry.
But there really is this organized effort to make the Muslims hate Americans and Americans hate Muslims, and people have to understand we're all being manipulated.
Right. There's especially, I know, a program in Egypt that had some children sitting around a table, and there was a sheikh telling them how bad the Jews were and about you know, how jihad is a good thing, and how if you really understand Islam, then striving to die and become a martyr is a wonderful thing. And he even said Jews are vile creatures. And I remember on this show a young girl calling in and agreeing with him and saying, oh yes, in Arabic, of course, Jews are vile, horrible creatures. And the sheikh just got so excited, and he said, oh, you know, Allah's going to love you for saying that. I haven't heard anything that great all day long. You know, this is the best, you know, day of my life. And it's so scary at that young of an age to see them so brainwashed you know, not so much against Christians, but against Jewish people. So it's no wonder, you know, you stop feeling such anger when you see shows like that. You stop feeling really so much anger as sadness that at such a young age, these people are being brainwashed to think that, that Jewish people are horrible, vile creatures that just don't even deserve to be here on earth. And so it's sad, and I have really learned when I've tried to witness to Muslims that it really has, you have to pray a lot before you do it, and you have to come at them with love. It's so easy to pull out history books. It was for me, and I found it didn't work. Pull out history books and say, no, no, this is what happened. See, this is what happened. It's not what the Quran says. That doesn't work. And it just has to be through Jesus Christ and quoting scripture and explaining love that's available to them if they want it, other than attacking their religion.
That's absolutely correct. You know, I think we can learn a lot from the attitude of the Amish people. Oh, when the four girls were slain, you know, going to help the family of the man who had killed the four Amish girls. You know, this really, I think, shows what Christianity is all about, and maybe we ought to learn a lot from the Amish.
Oh, you're right. I saw that, too, and I remember thinking, wow, that they have so much love in their hearts and forgiveness, because I think he even said Jesus forgave, you know, why can't we do the same? I mean, that takes... They just put all their faith in God, and they rely on Him and know that God is going to fix everything, and there's going to be blessings that are going to come from this, even though right now it seems so hard for them and for their families. Blessings are going to come, and maybe one of them is having them on TV and showing the Christian faith that way.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate you taking your time. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
Larry Adams here, always fighting chaos. I invite you to listen to my fun and informative shows Sunday afternoons at 2, often with fun and informative guests, reminding you to please support all of our sponsors and let them know you heard it here. And encourage others to advertise with 1360, the voice of the lion. I would love to meet with any potential advertisers and sponsors. See you Sunday afternoons at 2 for What Now with Larry Adams.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a Mile High Energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Enjoyed our program with Farah Khalil this morning, and I think her message is an important one. It's important for all of us. I believe we are being manipulated intentionally and purposely into World War III, into a conflict with the Muslim world. That's exactly what they intend to do. And as Henry Kissinger said in his recent article in the published in the Washington Post on the 13th of September, 13th of September, I think was the date, he says we got two alternatives. We can either have the New World Order or this terrible catastrophe. And ladies and gentlemen, well, they want to take us into world government. They've manipulated this step by step. They're working within the Muslim world to create hatred for America, and within America and the West to create hatred for the Muslims, and don't fall into their trap. We may not be able to change what's coming down the line, but at least in our own hearts, we can. If we begin to hate the Muslims, why, we have lost the battle. And so understand we're being manipulated, our minds are molded, our tastes are formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. And to really understand what this is about, you need to read our newsletters. They're available at RadioLiberty.com. They're posted on the Internet. And then you need to understand the background of what happened on 9-1-1. The leaders knew exactly what was going to happen. If you haven't seen our pamphlets, Foreknowledge 9-1-1, there are three of them. They're all together, only $9.95. Or read Dr. Cuddy's book, which we still have in print, entitled Cover-Up. Even the school children in New York City knew the attack was coming on September 11th. But you mean to tell me that the FBI and the CIA had no knowledge of what was going to happen? Of course they knew what was going to happen. We had to have the incident to get us into the war. And when you understand that, if you read the book Without Precedent by Thomas Kean and Lee Hamilton, incidentally, Thomas Kean's a member of the CFR, Lee Hamilton, longtime member of the Trilateral Commission, plus the CFR, these people who believe in world government. And then they will tell you that Condoleezza Rice said, look, you know, the American people weren't ready to go to war. We wanted to do something about Al-Qaeda. We couldn't do it. What we needed was a catastrophe. Well, we got one. We got one on September 11th. That's on page 180 of Without Precedent. You need to get it, you need to read it, or it'll be covered in my upcoming newsletter. And if you want a copy of the September newsletter, which is not yet completed, why, you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And order it, and we'll send you one when it's completed. That's the September newsletter. And then, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, we are having an all-day conference on the 29th of October. We're bringing in Constance Cumby, who's one of the leading speakers on the occult movement, which is behind everything going on today. The world occult movement are these people who are in contact with the beings from the other dimension, because this is a spiritual battle. We're going to have Chris Pinto, who actually produced the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. We're going to have a great conference the 29th of October. Hope many of you can come. If you can, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Remember, we want to republish Dr. Cuddy's book. If you'd like to get a case of him, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the American Freedom Network, now on the World Wide Web at www.americanewsnet.com.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.